Curtis Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Lewa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Lewa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Lewa, legendary New Yorker.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 5 on this, your drive home at 5 with yours truly, Curtis Lewa. And as you know, the suit's here. Let me do it twice. They're so nice. As I first come on with our brand new show, 12 to 3, Monday through Fridays, with Ebony K. Williams as my co-hostess. That's 12 to 3. And then naturally I come back, and it's a completely different format, completely different show, as you reconnect with all of us on terrestrial radio, your streaming audio, or your app as you're leaving work on the drive home at 5 from 5 to 6. But we made history earlier today. As a result of a contact that Ebony K. Williams, who is the co-hostess of The Specialist, which is on the Fox News Channel, you're going to be watching it every Monday through Friday from 5 to 6, an interview she had with Ted Nugent, the Motor City Madman, just 2 weeks ago when he doubled down on statements he had made in the past, including about the president then, Barack Obama, that he should suck my machine gun. And other words that obviously might have added to the heated rhetoric that some are saying was responsible for yesterday's shooting of Congressman Scalise and the others who were practicing on the diamond for tonight's softball game between Democrats and Republicans from the Hill. Here is the interview in which Ted Nugent says he had an epiphany as a result of yesterday's shooting.
Mr. Ted Nugent, we want to thank you for joining us, and when certainly you and I have had this conversation, and I'm looking forward to continuing it, around how much responsibility the hateful political rhetoric has on what people are doing these days.
I tend to agree. You and I had a bit of a confrontation because of some of the language I've used, and I have reevaluated my approach, even though I'm a street fighter. I'm from Detroit.
Yeah.
We use language in the street. We use certain harsh terms, but at the tender age of 69, my wife has convinced me that I just can't use those harsh terms. I cannot, and I will not, and I encourage even my friends slash enemy on the left in the Democrat and liberal world that we have got to be civil to each other, that the whole world is watching America, where you have the God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we have got to be more respectful to the other side. But I have to clarify, we really are angry. We don't believe, we cannot believe that people on the left don't want secure borders, that this is crazy to us. But I am here to tell you, Ebony, your civil discourse from one side to the left and the right, I think, is a shining example. We have just got to take a deep breath. Remember, I am the Motor City Madman.
You are.
I didn't just write Wango Tango. I meant it. I mean, but I'm going to take a deep breath, and I am going to back it down. And if it gets fiery, if it gets hateful, I'm going away. I'm not going to engage in that kind of hateful rhetoric anymore.
Let me tell you this, Ted. In this moment, what you've done at the tender age of 69, for you to be able to say as a grown, self-respecting man that the things I said in the past about Barack Obama eating a gun, sucking a gun, Hillary Clinton being decapitated, for you to say that that was going too far. And again, I want to commend you and acknowledge you are not backing away from your political position of opposition to policies that you think are not in alignment with the best interests of this country. And that's what's important in this moment, ladies and gentlemen, to realize you do not have to compromise your political position and still show some level of human decency in the critique that doesn't go so far in the gutter as to even suggest the threatening of life, and the harming of individuals whom you simply politically disagree with. So I want to thank you for this moment, because this is the example, Ted, for the rest of our country to follow.
Well, I've got something in the neighborhood of 20 million Facebookers, and we have quite a dialogue every day, and I'm getting ready for the greatest tour of my life. So I'm not trying to make excuses, but when I made those wild-ass comments on stage against the then-Senator Hillary Clinton and then-Senator Barack Obama, I don't know if you can grasp the degree of adrenaline and intensity and sheer over-the-top animal spirit and attitude that I live on stage. But I've got to take that deep breath, because the energy and the focus and priority that I put into creating great rhythm and blues, great music, rock and roll with this greatest band in the world, I have to be in tune and in time with my bass player and drummer. Now I've got to get my psyche in tune that I can still hold the ground, and I can be feisty, I can be fiery, I can be passionate.
Nobody's going to take that away.
I will avoid anything that can be interpreted as condoning or referencing violence. I have never referenced violence. I've said some smart-ass stuff in the past. And
well, come on, Ted.
I talked about it.
Yeah. I think some people might have certainly taken it that way, for sure.
Well,
yeah.
Let me trace back my history with Ted Nugent, the Motor City Madman, who has street cred in the city of Detroit, where I went in the mid-'80s when Coleman Young was the mayor, to form the first Guardian Angel Patrols there. And got locked up in the Detroit House of Correction just for organizing there, because the mayor decided he's the mayor, he could do that. And I must tell you that the terminology you use, which I'm familiar with in the streets, Ted, when you said about the former president Barack Obama, suck on my machine gun, I hear that on a regular basis from homies and others who will tell me, oh yeah, you're going to be sucking on my toolie, my gun, any minute. So you do recognize how that could send across the worst of possible messages.
Yes, and I'm acknowledging that now. And again, I have to give a lot of credit to my incredible wife, my queen of the forest, Shemaine.
Yeah, I got the chance to meet her, Ted, when you came on and did the Fox News specialist. Just a real lovely woman. And I think what's important in this moment, and you're referencing it as well, Curtis, this is not about abandoning your beliefs. This is not about just pretending differences don't exist and having kumbaya moments artificially. This is about us being grown-ups, all of us, despite our political positions, and saying, you know what? I don't like your health care plan. I don't like your immigration stance. I don't like where you are on gun control, the Second Amendment issues. But we're not going to advocate for the decapitation. We're not going to advocate for lynching and hanging and all these things that, like we were talking earlier in the show, Curtis, some people are kind of cuckoo crazy tendencies already. And so when they see someone of your status, Ted, someone of your gravitas with those two machine guns on the stage suggesting Obama suck a gun, they're not thinking clearly. They're not seeing it as a metaphor. They're not seeing it as artistic expression. Somebody looking at Kathy Griffin with that decapitated ISIS style picture, they're not seeing art. They're seeing hate, and they're seeing it as a cue to move forward in the most gruesome of ways.
You're absolutely correct, but let me clarify too, and I'm glad Curtis is there, because you have to realize I was born in Detroit in 1948, and I was there in the heat and the fire of the 67 riots, and I was on the side of my black brothers, the Funk Brothers, the Motown Heroes, and so I have been in the eye of the storm. And as Curtis clarified, and it's important we never forget this, when those kind of savage remarks are made, especially on a rock and roll stage, they're not meant literally. I don't want anybody's lips on my machine gun. Those weren't machine guns, by the way.
Okay.
They were airsoft guns, but they sure look cool. what I want to convey, and Ebony, you're right, I'm not only not backing off my constitutional fight, because my politics are constitutional. My politics are Bill of Rights.
Yep,
my politics are Declaration of Independence and Emancipation Proclamation. I am so simple.
I certainly like the Emancipation Proclamation. Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I'm actually increasing my activism because I see the division in this country. But again, I'd love to discuss in detail at a future date why we are angry and how confused we are. Now, we can be confused, but we are not allowed to
incite. Yes, and I think that's the thing. And of course, as an attorney, that's the test, right? Free speech is absolutely protected up and until it gets to that magical threshold, gentlemen, where now we're talking about inciting violence. And I'm not saying you did that, Ted. We know ultimately you were cleared by Secret Service, but that was what made people so upset and angry.
I am 100% against any harm to any human beings, particularly my brothers here in America. So that doesn't mean we can't have increased and escalated shouting matches, but we've got to be respectful, shake hands, and then come back another day and hopefully win at the voting booth.
I would never, ever have thought that Ted Nugent would all of a sudden have an epiphany that would cause him within 24 hours after another shooting to suddenly call for unity by using himself as an example and saying he's stepping back from his heated rhetoric during the campaign to elect Donald Trump, and more specifically the comment in which he referred to both Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton as, hey, you can suck the head of my machine gun. That was major, and that's already making news all across the nation. We'll see if Ted Nugent can lead from the far, far right with his rhetorical comeback from the bombs that he has thrown in the past. I'm sure others on the far, far left can do so, as there is an attempt to use the shooting of yesterday to bring both sides together. We will see.
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
You've been the night that you left me. Put me in my place.
5:27. We're back with the Motor City Madman song, Stranglehold. And he really had a stranglehold in terms of the violent rhetoric that was used during the presidential campaign, specifically directed at Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton. And then all of a sudden, he had an epiphany. And today, earlier in the broadcast day here at WABC, he chose the one program out of the many he could have come on to announce how he was reeling it back and changing his tone. And he did it on the new Curtis and Ebony K. Williams show.
But at the tender age of 69, my wife has convinced me that I just can't use those harsh terms. I cannot,
wow,
and I will not, and I encourage even my friends slash enemy on the left in the Democrat and liberal world that we have got to be civil to each other.
On the line to discuss that, Steve Adubato, Emmy Award-winning broadcaster on the PBS flagship WNET and NJTV, and author of the new book, Lessons in Leadership. Steve, would this be an example of leadership breaking from the mold and trying to set out in a new direction?
Well, first of all, I mean, I've never been a fan of Ted Nugent's, but in this case, I am impressed. This is leadership in the sense that he knew that what he had done was wrong. He wanted to rectify it. He chose your program with Ebony to do that. And when I was listening to it, I thought, this isn't really happening. Ted Nugent is not saying that he made a mistake. Ted Nugent is not rolling back the rhetoric. But I'll tell you what, listening to this right now is reason to be hopeful in the midst of these horrific, disgusting events of yesterday, where people take their political ideology together with insanity and use weapons, violence, to solve nothing but to hurt, whether Democrats or Republicans. In this case, Republicans were targeted. No justification at all.
Well, Steve, another shooting and another call for unity. Is this going to exist for maybe a 72-hour news cycle? You know, the softball game will be played tonight between Democrats and Republicans. We're all concerned about the continued health of Representative Scalise, who is going to have continued surgery. But will this disappear too?
Well, first of all, thoughts and prayers, obviously, everyone listening now, me included, you as well, I know, to Representative Scalise and his family. But the other side of this is Gabby Giffords. I remember when it happened with Gabby Giffords, she happened to be attacked, shot. Now, she was a Democrat. It doesn't make a difference what you are, Democrat or Republican. Everyone came together, Curtis. Everyone said, this is it. We understand. We need to have a kumbaya moment. It lasted a nanosecond. I hope and pray that this is different. History would tell us something different, but I want to remain optimistic, because to give up and say they're just going to go back to the same partisan, nasty, vicious rhetoric, not listening to each other. Hey, by the way, Curtis, disagreeing is part of the American Constitution. It's what you do every day at WABC. This is something different, very different.
So what lesson from leadership can we take from the fact that we haven't been able to bring both sides together, and it seems like we're drawing further and further apart?
The biggest lesson for me, Curtis, is to not be so damn convinced that you are so damn right. And when people are so convinced that they're so right, that everyone else is wrong, some people, normal people, in the sense of they're not crazed, don't listen to anyone else, don't care what anyone else's point of view is, they trash others, they call names. But those who are crazed, those who have mental health problems, take that rhetoric. And like Ted Nugent said, and you guys challenged him, you and Ebony said, you don't know that someone who's deranged could listen to you. The lesson is, tone back the rhetoric. Disagree, but do it respectfully without being so nasty and hate-filled. And by the way, Kathy Griffin, she was and is a part of this as well, and I'm not buying her crocodile tears.
Now, also, there is the play that is taking place in Central Park. I saw the audience coming out last night, jammed. I mean, jammed to the rafters in the Papp Theater. The recreation of Julius Caesar as Donald Trump, with Brutus and Cassius, not killing Caesar, but killing Donald Trump. Are they able to justify this through creative license?
Curtis, part of the problem is I haven't seen it. And I'm not going to duck it. I never have with you before and say, well, I haven't seen it, so I don't know about it. No, I do know about it. But my interpretation, secondhand, because I haven't seen the play, is this. I don't get it. I don't get how you use literary or artistic license to mock the potential killing of a president of the United States in this form. I guess they have a right to do it under the Constitution, and that is what people fought in wars for, their right of free speech. I don't see how it helps the situation. I see it ratcheting up the rhetoric and the nastiness and the craziness of them, whether they be Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, or liberals, who want to do violence to others. It doesn't help, so I'm not a fan of it, and I don't intend to see the play because of it.
Do appreciate that, Steve Adubato, often a guest for us here on the Drive Home at 5, author of the book Lessons in Leadership.
From the NJDiet.com studios, 77 WABC New York News Now.
Delays due to a stalled Amtrak train, 72 partly sunny. I'm Deborah Valentine with the stories we'll be talking about on 77 WABC. A stalled Amtrak train causing LIRR delays in and out of New York's Penn Station. Jeff McKay, right now traffic coming up momentarily with the details. A 28-year-old man fell to his death down an elevator shaft at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square this afternoon. It happened at 1535 Broadway. The man fell from the 8th floor, landing in the basement. That's where he was pronounced dead. Police and the buildings department investigating. President Trump today praising Capitol Police officers David Bailey and Crystal Griner for their swift action in taking down a gunman who opened fire at practice for a congressional baseball game in Alexandria, Virginia yesterday. The president hopes the tragedy, which left Congressman Steve Scalise in critical condition, will eventually bring unity.
I have a feeling that Steve has made a great sacrifice, but there could be some unity being brought to our country.
Tonight's bipartisan charity fundraising game will be played. The FBI, meanwhile, is investigating the gunman, James T. Hodgkinson, and his anti-Republican social media posts. He was shot and killed by Capitol Police. Traffic and weather next. WABC News Time, 534.
77 WABC. New York came to talk about. Bullets fly on a baseball diamond in Virginia.
The shooter starts circling around third base. Our security detail still defending us. Took him down.
The reports are he asked people before, are these Republicans or Democrats?
President Trump says it's time for Americans to come together.
We are strongest when we are unified.
NYPD cops search for two men who turn avocados into weapons in a Bronx bodega.
In this type of neighborhood, you never know what can happen.
What happens next is right here.
Time to speak up.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
for 2 weeks only, ladies and gentlemen. Genucel, with its immediate effects, is 50% off. You heard me. That's a half-price clearance. Order Genucel for bags and puffiness now, and also get the Platinum Self-Tanning Body Lotion as a free gift. Perfect hydration, tan, and protection. Rejuvenate, hydrate, and maintain that summer glow with a lotion unlike anything you've ever tried before. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the beach with healthier, tighter skin, and the bags and puffiness under your eyes, they're gone. Join our millions of satisfied customers and feel confident in your eyes, face, and body. Millions use this product and they love it, and I know you will too. I use it and I love it. Call 800-SKIN-891. That's 800-SKIN-891. As always, Genucel works in 12 hours or bingo, you get your money back. Platinum self-tanning body lotion free while supplies last. Call or click now, and shipping is also free for this two-week only clearance sale. You go to Genucel.com, Genucel.com, or call 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891.
You worked so many years to establish a good reputation in your field of endeavors. Your name, your brand, whatever it is you're marketing, maybe your service or your product. You work real hard. And also, you live a life in which you want to be known for your integrity. And then, unbeknownst to you oftentimes, sometimes by people who are a lot closer to you than you think, or complete strangers, you start getting trashed over and over. And all that hard work to build your reputation almost slides into the abyss. You can't have nor afford to have your name ruined and what you do ruined by people who are out to upset the apple cart. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to be able to deal with it on your own. That's why you may have to rely on the Spartan Detective Agency to get the real down low on the people who are trying to sully your reputation. They'll do background checks by this Spartan Detective Agency, and it can reveal everything, even details some people are trying to hide and keep on the hush-hush, mush-mush, and on the down low. Protect your reputation with a fully licensed and bonded and insured private investigator from the Spartans Detective Agency. Get a pad and pen. You're going to want to write this information down. Contact the Spartan Detective Agency at 855-SPARTAN. That's 855-SPARTAN. Or visit them at SpartanPI.com. That's SpartanPI.com. New Jersey license number 2392 and New York license number 1031226. Remember, just go online to SpartanPI.com.
Curtis Sliwa,
the next mayor of the city of New York.
Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
77 WABC.
Any day your last day might come, so
you say hi, you can run.
Late night in the shadows when the daylight comes, remember.
You say hi, you can run.
Any day your last day might come, so
you say hi, you can run.
Oh, this is a degenerate hip-hop rapper song by Dilated Peoples. But it's really within the theme of what your mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, has been trying to enact. You can run, but you can't hide, Bill. You cannot hide. And that was evident from 2 weeks ago when he made his weekly radio appearance on WNYC with Brian Lehrer. And one of the callers really stuck it to him about his unwillingness, as our subway system is falling apart, to leave his air-conditioned SUV and head into the subway and see what the strap hangers have to deal with.
One of the reasons we are in this climate crisis is because the average person sees elites not playing by the rules that elites seek to impose on everyone else. And you're not going to be able to lead when you're sitting in your SUV being chauffeured every day 12 miles from Gracie Mansion to Park Slope just so that you can ride an exercise bike.
Charles, I understand the emotional appeal of what you're saying, but I'm just not going to take the bait, my friend.
Oh, you pretentious asshole. And so he continued to not take the subway, even though editorially he was pounded by the Daily News, the New York Post, on a regular basis. Like, hey, leave the SUV and get into the subway. Don't tell us what we should do when you yourself are not willing to follow your own advice. And yet he stood to his stubborn ways. And then yesterday, mayoral candidate Sal Albanese, who was challenging him in the Democratic primary, came before a phalanx of media outside of the YMCA that this mayor so adores that it causes him to get into his SUV with a posse of security and other SUVs and head there each and every day from Gracie Mansion. And I was proud to see Sal Albanese there as a Democrat running for mayor because as the New York State chairman of the New York Reform Party, to find out more about us, just go to nyreformparty.com. We also gave him our line so that if he happens to lose the Democratic primary against Mayor de Blasio, he can run in the general election that'll take us to November. And he pushed the issue outside of the Y. And guess who ended up taking the subway yesterday for the very first time in a month of Sundays? That's right, later in the day, Mayor de Blasio. On the line now is Democratic mayoral and Reform Party candidate Sal Albanese. Thanks for joining us again on the Drive Home at 5, Sal.
Hey, Curtis, great to be on your program. It's great to be able to say that the mayor of the city of New York actually got on the subway because we shamed him into it. It's unbelievable that, you know, we have a system that's melting down. This guy refused to ride the system just to see what people are experiencing. And it took our press conference yesterday, first of all, to get him out of bed because he doesn't get to the Prospect Line until about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And he got there early just to avoid us. So we accomplished two things. We got Bill de Blasio to get up early and to ride the subway. Of course, riding the subway alone is not going to address the fact that he's neglected the system for 3.5 years, has not even uttered a word about it, and basically has taken the position, it's not my job, which is really bizarre for a mayor of New York City because mass transit is the most important service. So now he's attempting to at least demonstrate some interest. Well, of course, I'm skeptical.
Well, and you have a right to be, because it just so happens that the New York Times reporter was on the C train that he took yesterday late in the day. I can't imagine that was like two ships just passing in the night, that had to be prearranged. But, again, it got your message out to the New York Times readers that you were willing to do something about transit. And this was about a press conference you had earlier in the week outside of Governor Cuomo's office. What exactly were you offering?
What I did was I composed a letter to Governor Cuomo saying that I want to work in partnership when I become mayor to fix the transit system. And what I would do is increase the city's share. The city has underfunded the system for years. And I said I would triple the allocation to $1 billion a year, which would go into fixing the signal system, which is pre-World War II. So I would have the moral high ground to work with Cuomo to get him on board so the state can do its share, and we could begin to fix the system, which is so important to all New Yorkers. It's important to the economy. It's important to the environment. And I think I could work with Cuomo to get it done. I've seen this movie before, and when I was a council member back in the 80s, Curtis, the trains, as you remember, were literally falling off the tracks, and Cuomo, the Elder, and Koch, and with Richard Ravitch, worked together, despite their differences, to get the system moving. And this mayor has incredibly taken the position that it's not his job, which of course it is his job.
Now, in addition to contributing more of the New York City taxpayers' dollars to the maintenance and repair and upkeep of the subway system, how would you improve communication with Cuomo? Because you know he can be a stunat. He can be stubborn.
Well, what I would do is work with Cuomo. First of all, the thing to do with Cuomo is obviously go to Albany, meet with him, and not get into an adversarial situation where de Blasio and Cuomo don't even speak. I mean, I would go there and make my case. And I would also use the bully puppet around the city. You know as well as I do that Cuomo has the best political antennas probably in the country. And if you go, I would go around the city and say, look, I'm working in partnership with Andrew Cuomo, the governor, and we're going to fix the system. And I would elevate the issue of mass transit onto the political scene at a very high level. And Cuomo would, I believe, come along like his father did to help me fix the system, because it would be politically advantageous for him to do so. And I would raise the temperature in a very diplomatic way around the city to ensure that, you know, New York City produces a lot of votes in Democratic elections within the Democratic Party. So I think Cuomo would definitely come along and work with us. But you can go to Cuomo and say, I need your help, and then underfund the city's share. I mean, you just can't do that. I would have the moral high ground to do that. And I also think I can get some of the suburban legislators to come along, too, because the infrastructure impacts on their service as well. The LIRR, the Metro North, they're all in bad shape. And I have a couple of ideas. One of them is using the personal income tax, not raising the tax, but using 0.3% of the tax and funneling it right into mass transit. Without playing games every year, political games, we're going to give them X, we're going to give them Y, and 1 year we'll do a good job, the next year we'll just forget about it. This will be a steady stream of income going into mass transit, because we won't have an economy, Curtis. We're going to go, you know, New York City, people will move out if we can't move people around. If there's traffic congestion, which there is, by the way, it's a mess. As well as a poor transit system, the economy is going to suffer. We're in competition with London for the premier city of the world. They have upgraded their tube. They have a modern signal system. Their infrastructure is better than ours. We're not going to grow as a city unless we address this major issue.
All right. That's mayoral candidate Sal Albanese. He's challenging Mayor de Blasio in the Democratic primary. And I, as the New York State Reform Party chairman, was proud to announce that our executive committee gave him our Reform Party line to run in the general election. If you want more information about his campaign or you want to contribute to his campaign, just go online to Sal2017.com. That's Sal2017.com. And if you want to find out more about the party that I'm chairman of, just go to NYReformParty.com. That's NYReformParty.com.
Really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're very honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
I love America.
5:54. The all-time dance classic tune by Patrick Juvet. Not even an American. That's right, he's a Frenchman. He dedicated this song to America like Frenchmen did years ago when they gave us that gift, the Statue of Liberty that is in New York Harbor. And yesterday was Flag Day. Now, we see all these calls for unity surrounding this recent shooting. Another shooting, another call for unity. You would think that somebody out there would have mentioned that yesterday was Flag Day. And that is the symbol that unifies all of us, regardless of how diverse, how different we are in terms of our points of views, whether they're considered extreme or moderate or independent and autonomous. Did you hear any of our leaders refer to Flag Day yesterday? Did you? Of course you didn't. And even though we wish a happy birthday to our president today, Donald Trump, regardless of your personal opinions about his time as a candidate and now his brief time as a president. You do that. Why did no one take the time yesterday to wish a happy birthday to the American flag? How many of you have visited Philadelphia and taken the time, in addition to visiting the Liberty Bell, the crack Liberty Bell, just go a few blocks away to the home of Betsy Ross, who put together that first American flag? I'm sure quite a few of you did when you were growing up, because oftentimes it was your parents or your grandparents who mentored you in being patriotic. How many times when you were going to school on Flag Day, you had a special assembly, whether it was a public school or a parochial school? And oftentimes in the public schools, you would then parade out into the neighborhoods flying the flag. And as you walked around the neighborhood surrounding your public school, you would see other American flags that were either draped off of a flagpole or a American flag that was draped from a house. But with patriotic pride, you walked through the streets and people were flying the American flag, and you learned of its history. You learned how it came about, what the stars and stripes stood for. This was part and parcel of what you did in school. In addition to each and every day, where in homeroom, you would do the Pledge of Allegiance. You would sing the national anthem. It was mandatory. Tell me where that happens now. Yes, yes. Oh, there are educational locations where that continues to take place. And yes, there are those teachers who will teach their students the history of the American flag and the protocol of how it should be displayed. But I want to give a special shout out to the Staten Island Advance, the first of the many newspapers that was started by the Newhouse chain. Powerful as it is, I think it owns over 200 publications. But yesterday's newspaper, above the fold and below the fold, had a long, detailed article about Flag Day. And out in Staten Island, unlike a lot of our four other boroughs and other surrounding suburbs in the tri-state area, they celebrate Flag Day in a number of ways. But the Staten Island Advance published the 10 things to know for displaying Old Glory. Remember, when we were kids, we were told the flag should never touch the ground or anything beneath it. I see that often now where that's not followed. And that the U.S. flag should never be worn as a part of your apparel, as part of clothing. Nowadays, it's common to see that. So let's not forget that yesterday, Flag Day, was an issue that could have rallied us around the flag and brought us together, but few, if any, mentioned it or celebrated it.